cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
And we are in the air everywhere, border to border and beyond. There are no borders on podcasting because 8 days a week are now required. We do this podcast 8 days a week, 4 hours a night on the overnight, 5 days a week. Clearly not enough. And as you know by now, this is a spinoff of the Ben Maller radio show. And it's only available. You're only hearing this on the podcast. We can curse. As you heard yesterday's podcast with Looney Tunes, it was a lot of profanity. It was a lot of dirty words because Looney loves to curse, and he dragged me down, and then I started cursing and all that. But we thank you for downloading the podcast, and for better or worse, yet again, joined by right over there, David Gascon, who's stepping into the studio right now.
I am, into the spotlight, out from the clouds where I was buried for a while with you and Tom Looney. It's always good. When I listen to you guys talk, I swear it's like you guys grew up together. But Ben, or like Tom has that kind of personality where, like, had I known him in my teens or even when I was like in elementary school, I'd be lifelong friends with him.
Yeah. I've always gotten along. You just like click with certain people. I didn't know Looney until my mid 20s or actually early 20s. But ever since, man, we've been, anytime we talk, it's like, yeah, it's like, I actually have better conversations with him than my actual brothers. It's wild. I don't even talk to my brothers that much or like that with Looney, but it's great. I had a blast doing the show with him. I hope we work together at some point again down the line. I told him, I said, when they finally get rid of me, I told him, doing sports, I said, we'll do a political show. It'll be like the liberal conservative back and forth, like a crossfire type thing, something like that. That'd be a fun show to work on, but it was great. So thanks to Looney for spending some time with us there and spending a lot of time talking about himself. We are available on Cameo. I'm on Cameo at Ben Maller, cameo.com. Personalized video messages. It's not free, but I'm much cheaper than the other on-air people at Fox Sports Radio. There's Clay Travis on there, Rob Parker, guys like that, but I'm at a lower price point.
Now, did you change your handle on Cameo? There are reports out there that you changed your name to Mr. Maller.
No, I didn't change my name. I didn't touch Cameo. It's right there. It's Ben Maller on Cameo. I did get my first really awkward Cameo request this week. I get these emails like, when you request a Cameo, I get contacted like my phone, the email comes in, all this stuff. So I got a new Cameo request, and I was like, all right, this guy Jesse is a big fan of the show, but his problem is he's a historian. And so he sends me, here's what he wrote on his Cameo request. He says, I want you to give me a full Maller monologue praising the greatest sports franchise in history, the Los Angeles Lakers. Don't skip on praising the legends, is what Jesse said. So listen, Gascon, I'll do anything pretty much.
Yeah.
Unless you're saying, hey, give me an endorsement for, a bunch of serial killers or something. I probably wouldn't do that. But if I was like this, I was like, okay, I'll do it, whatever. And so I named my favorite era of Laker basketball. I named that for Jesse. I also named my three top Laker players of all time in the Cameo for him. And so I've never done that before, but I did it. I gave my top three Lakers and my favorite era of Laker basketball all time just for Jesse on the Cameo request. Because he wanted it. That's what he wanted. The man wanted it. I gave it to him.
How painful was it?
It was actually enjoyable. It was enjoyable. And if you hear it sometime, if Jesse plays it for you, you'll understand why it was enjoyable. But
because you got paid for it. That's why.
Exactly. That's exactly why it's enjoyable. So we have on the podcast, we have Pouting of the Podcast. We have Pop Quiz, Study This, and whatever else pops up along the way. Yes? Understand?
Of course.
All right. So Podcast Pouting. This is not about the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. This is about the radio show. So in the middle of the week, there's a mandate that comes down from our benevolent overlords that run the company, and they said, hey, we've decided to change the format, and that's just the way it's going to be. And so traditionally for years we had the podcast where it was just a big block. It was the entire show. It's several hours of content for a four-hour show. It's probably like 2.5 hours of a four-hour show. And so that would be up, and you just download it. You could listen to the entire show as you're cruising around doing all that stuff. Well, they decided, wait a minute here. Let's use a little misdirection. Magicians use misdirection. So let's use some misdirection, and we will change up the podcast, and we'll make it each hour. So you have to download each hour. And so they made this change, and I was like, whatever. And, let me tell you, the pouting. The pouting, the hissy fits that have been taking place here, unreal. The sulking, the whining. I feel like I need to pass out some pacifiers to some of these brigadier generals in the Malo militia. Now, a couple things. A, as I pointed out, this was what's known as a mandate situation. All right, it was mandatory. We had no control over it. It was a directive. It was a proclamation that was made by the higher-ups. Number two, listen, you're going to get used to it. And I want to point out, in the olden days, when we first really kind of got into the podcasting thing, back when we were hanging out with witches and devils and all that, this is how it was. They used to do it like this. And then I remember when the bosses changed it, and they made another landmark decision and said to make it a big block, people complained about that they only wanted to listen to certain parts of the Blabbermouth Experience, and they didn't want to listen to the entire bag of wind bluster. They only wanted to hear, pick and choose what they want to listen to. So I guess the lesson, the moral of the story is you can't please anyone, and people are just looking for stuff to be upset about, and this is another thing to complain about. And now I will agree, Gascon, that there should be, and I'm going to talk to the powers that be here, that the podcast should be put in 1 to 4 when you look at the list of podcasts. That way, if you play number one, it'll just play go on to number two, and so that makes it easier. Right now, the first couple of days, it was, if you look at the podcast page on iHeart or Apple or any of the podcast platforms, it looks like it's 4, 3, 2, 1, so it's in reverse order.
Yeah, and it goes that way because of how it's uploaded, so that's the unfortunate thing about it. Now, I guess you got to appreciate the way that this is done, though, because in some ways, this is kind of, in your book, gamesmanship, because it's cooking of the books, if you will. You get 4 times the downloads for one show. So, Big
well, that's
Ben Maller.
Well, that's if they download the entire program.
Well, yeah, and assuming that they will, because you got some rabid fans, they will certainly do that. Worst case scenario is they're going to click from one to the other to the other, yeah, and see if it's the hour that they want, because don't forget, you get a credit if you listen to 1 minute. So they're going to listen at least 1 minute and
so,
then go on
so
the next.
So you're saying that they have a finger in the pie, that it's the old numbers game, right?
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The manipulation situation.
Yeah, you're cooking the books a little bit.
Which I have no problem. Listen, I'm obedient, and if they want to cook the books, I'm right there with them. Way to go. Put your thumb on the scale. I got no problem with that. That's why they call it a baker's dozen. We'll give you an extra one.
That's right. That's right. So you're getting away with it. You're getting 4 for the price of 1.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you buy Apple stock right now. You wait until the end of the month, you get 4 for the price of 1.
That's right. August 24th, if you're listening to this podcast before that date, that is the date that stock will split in 4.
Yeah. And I don't usually spend much money on expensive stocks like Apple, cuz that's not what I do there, but
yeah.
I've ponied up some cash there, I guess, Gascon. I figure it's worth it because you're getting 4 for the price of 1.
Yes.
So that resonates with me. That's a deal. So
now,
I did. Now, this will, of course, be the end of Apple as a major multinational technology company. Once I start investing in Apple, that's over. It's over for them. That's it. See you later.
I don't know. Well, I'm actually encouraged for Christmas season, because I think if this turns out to be as successful as I think it will be, I think there's got to be something in my stocking. I know you've taken bad advice in the past from a former dentist who drove, you know, drove your real estate.
We didn't even get to that. We got
to
have Looney on again just to talk about the real estate transaction, which I'm still underwater with because of his advice.
Yeah. Well, he's going to take you down that rabbit hole one day, I'm sure. But he'll flip it around and blame it on you.
Yeah.
So if this turns out to be successful, which I think it will be, I mean, because, right, that's what this is about, right? Stocks and real estate, you got to go through the turbulent times to get through the green pasture. I think we'll be okay by the end of 2020.
Well, it's gone up since I got in on, I think it's gone up $45 or something like
that.
That's good. Just in the last week, it's gone up $45.
That's great.
That's nuts, man. Normally, when I buy a stock, it goes down by $40 or $50.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't go up.
Now, what happens, though, if this turns out to be extremely successful? Like, will I get a pat on the back? Will I get a thank you? Will I get a congratulations? Like, will I get any of that?
You know,
stuff?
You get an attaboy, and I might even go west of the 405 and go to that Chicago pizza place in the LBC that you were. Was it in the LBC? Where was it?
It is. Yeah, it's Long Beach or Belmont Shore. Yeah, Long
Beach. Yeah. That's the good part of Long Beach, right? Belmont Shore, is that what they say? Yeah, that's the ritzy part. That's the Beverly Hills or Long Beach of the LBC.
if there's such a thing.
I used to love hanging out in Long Beach. I would take, when I lived in L.A., I lived in downtown, and I would take the Gold Line.
Yeah, all the way down.
And then I would take the Red Line to the Blue Line. So I had to take three trains, but then we'd go all the way to, it goes all the way to the end there, and you could walk to Rainbow Harbor and that area. Beautiful. I used to love, that would be like my zen place. That would be my zen place. I'd go down there. I was depressed, having a bad day. I'd go down there, just chill out, watch the sunset. It was beautiful. It was wonderful.
Wow, you're looking for some tranquility and a little peace and harmony? I don't suspect you being that type.
Yeah. Well, you are. You know, you're a douchebag. So that's it. All right. We have pop quiz. You ready for pop quiz?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
These are actual questions that we found randomly, and then we will quiz David Gascon. And you, the bit is you have to play along, and then we'll see where this goes. And this is a quiz. You will be tested on this. So we'll see how you do. All right, so here we go. Over 100 Americans go to the emergency room every year after this happens to them at a barbecue.
They burn themselves.
It would be more than 100 for burning, Gascon.
I don't think
thousands.
So.
You're wrong. No.
Step on a nail.
No, they accidentally eat a bristle from the metal grill brush.
What?
Yeah. But that.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
How does that happen? You're cleaning the barbecue with the metal build. Do you like accidentally put it in the burger or the hot dog?
I guess so.
Or the sausage? I mean, what is that all about?
Unless people spray the grill and then they start taking off all the past food.
Can you imagine how painful that must be, though?
Yeah.
To get that out,
but did you?
Holy fucking seriously!
But when you clean your,
what
grills,
do they do to get that out? Can you imagine when that's getting? It's one thing to go in, but to go out the other end.
Oh yeah, you're fucking.
Oh my god!
You're drinking some laxatives and you are taking some kind of pain meds.
Oh wow, that must be terrible. You should do it to tell us what you can.
You can get Coop to do it.
No, you should do it write a column or a blog or whatever and say, here's what it's like when it came out the other end.
You should have Coop do it with Vaseline.
With Vaseline, yeah.
Because didn't you make him do that once?
Yeah. He did eat a couple of spoonfuls of Vaseline, one big spoonful of Vaseline. That was funny. Long, long ago. All right. Oddly, this only happens 7 times a month to most people. What is it? 7 times a month. Most people only have this happen 7 times a month.
They get prank called.
No. They, on average, people only get a really good night's sleep 7 times a month.
Man, I've been having lack of good sleep the last 2 weeks.
You're getting old, man. You crossed 50.
And man, is that what happens. It is?
Yeah, you get older. You don't sleep as well. It's a pain in the ass. I've never been a good sleeper, though. I blame my parents. I think it's genetic. And I rarely get... I have to drug myself with that Kirkland brand sleep aid to get any real sleep. I just don't... I'm not a good sleeper.
Did your wife sleep well?
Yes. She is a glorious... She's in the Sleeping Hall of Fame. She's an all-time great sleeper. She can sleep anywhere at any time, even if she's not even tired. She can sleep. It's
fascinating. She could probably sleep on a plane then, right?
I don't know. Well, we don't fly that. I think she's been able to on the plane.
That bugs the fuck out of me, man. Because, well, you know, you go to like Boston, but you get people that get on the plane, and before the plane even takes off, people are like conked out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a pain in the ass. And I remember when I was doing the NBC thing, and I'd have to fly back and on a Sunday night after doing the overnight and being on all day with Looney Tunes on the Blitz. And I recall, I was like, oh, I'll just sleep on the plane. I never could sleep on the red eye. And it was such a pain in the ass. I was too big for the seat. I couldn't get comfortable and all that stuff. But who was that guy? Remember the pitcher like 20 years ago for the Arizona Diamondbacks that could sleep anywhere?
I have to look that up.
You don't remember? He was the closer when they won the World Series. He was just, what's the guy's name?
Oh, Byung Kim?
Yeah. Of the Asian persuasion. And he was like a legendary sleeper.
Yeah, Byung Kim. He was the one that blew a couple saves against the Yankees, too.
Yes, he did. He did not play that well, but that guy could sleep. That was the last. I remember Vince Scully would regale us with stories about how he would sleep on the bus and on the plane and in the locker room. And there's a lot of relief pitchers in baseball, dude. I remember the great Lee Smith, Hall of Fame pitcher. Yeah. I covered him at the end with the Angels, and I recall that he would show up to the ballpark after, like an hour before the game. A lot of guys have to get there 3-4 hours before the game. Lee would show up like right before the game, and he would sleep. He would sleep until like the seventh inning, and they'd wake him up. And then so he only really saw 2 innings of the game or whatever. He'd see 2 innings, seventh and eighth, and then he'd pitch in the ninth if the game was close. And yeah.
That's pretty good.
So in 1906, a home economist believed eating this particular food dish was so bad for you that it was a cause for divorce.
Food dish.
Yeah.
Lasagna.
Like Garfield.
Yeah.
No. Pie. Oh. Pie.
Is it because arguments would be generated from arguments on what kind of pie is the best kind of pie?
Yeah, I don't know. That's all it says here on this, but pie.
Interesting.
Is that because pie has different meanings and different codes? And Could be. All right. Let's see here. Pennsylvania was the first state to create an agency to protect this.
It's parks.
No, fish.
Mm. Pennsylvania?
Fish. Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Of all states?
I know. How about that? Who knew? Yeah. I had no idea. That's why we do Pop Quiz Guest Gone right there. That's an example of why we must do the Pop Quiz segment on the Fifth Hour podcast. And also, don't forget Cameo. All right. In ancient Greece. Now, I actually knew this one, Gascon, so you should know this. And if you don't know this, bad job by you.
Right.
I'm calling my shot right now because I learned this when I was younger. So in ancient Greece, Olympic athletes would eat, drink, and rub this food item all over themselves to give them superpowers of strength.
As a garlic?
I wish. No, it's not garlic. Come on, Gascon. You don't know this. Gascon does not know this.
Is it berries?
No, not berries.
Not fish.
That would be kind of freaky if it was berries, because the berries would get you all blueberries. You'd look blue or purple or whatever. No, the correct answer, Gascon.
Oysters.
Onions.
Onions! Why onions?
I don't know. I wasn't around in ancient Greece. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But they would. That's what they would do in ancient Greece. They would rub the onion, the powerful onion.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I was thinking garlic, though, because that's obviously right up your alley.
Oh, I love garlic. I have a garlic story that I'll get to in our science part of this. Well, this is not really science, but the study survey of this thing.
Yeah, all right.
I got a good garlic story that I'll get to. I learned a fun fact. Did you know that originally, their bananas were blue? Did you know that?
No way.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Wait, and
they were blue bananas.
Discovered where?
I think they were all over. People didn't like them.
That's awesome.
And then I was watching a documentary about that this week, and they had like, I was like, really? Blue. Well, I would think it would be cool to eat a blue banana. Wouldn't
yeah, of course.
Wouldn't that be a cool thing to eat, a blue banana?
Yeah, absolutely. But are
Crap.
You?
Bring
are
back you, the blue banana.
Yeah. I mean, what? You got to have color in your food no matter what.
Yeah, I'm all about it, right? There you go. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? When it comes to breakfast, 16% of people, when they enjoy a nice breakfast, have this in common.
Coffee.
Not coffee, but it is a type of beverage.
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk. All right, it's not bad. How about soda?
Oh, fuck. Soda in the morning with your breakfast?
I used to do that.
Did you?
When I didn't eat breakfast a lot, but I'd go to Jack in the Box and I'd get those French toast sticks.
Oh, yeah.
That were wonderful, and some hash browns, and I'd get a soda. That was my move. Because the orange, they'd give you the orange juice, but it was like a lot smaller, and I liked a lot to drink in those days.
Yeah.
And so I would get like a Dr. Pepper with my, that was my meal.
That was my hangover medicine. It was always a breakfast burrito from somewhere and a Dr. Pepper. But never if I'm sober. I can't do soda.
But fortunately, you're not sober very often, so.
Well, I haven't drank in a long time, man. You should, kick back.
That's not what I hear. Let's see. What else do we have? All right. 40% of couples say they do this separately. What is it?
Shower.
No. Laundry.
That makes sense.
His and hers laundry?
Yeah. I mean, guys are more about just putting the entire clothes hamper into the washer. Yeah. And then drying it all at the same time.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Women are just, I need to get my colors here, my whites there, my lingerie here, all that bullshit. We don't have time.
Yeah. And I set it and forget it. I put everything in there, turn it on, boom, done. I'm on my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. 15% of kids will get this before going back to school.
Driver's license.
Yeah, those 8-year-olds are getting driver's license.
Oh, I thought you meant like high school.
Well, no, I said kids. That could be kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, all the way up to 12th grade.
What do you want to say, chicken pox?
no, it's glasses.
Oh, jeez.
It's glasses. That's tough, man. I mean, I wear glasses, and I'm an old fart now, but I wear glasses. But I remember picking on kids in elementary school. Everyone would goof on the kid that had the glasses.
Yeah, but I think times are changing now. I think the only times people get picked on now, or at least kids do, is like when they get braces or when they're a little overweight.
I disagree. Kids are savage. The most offensive people in the world are children at the playground,
true.
Especially like junior high school. They're vicious. They're savage. They're beasts. It's a terrible thing.
Sounds like you were terrorized when you were a kid.
No, I was. I hated it, man. I kind of feel like now, I wish I had been born now because like these kids going to junior high now, they don't actually have to go to school. They just do it on Zoom.
No. And then
my life would be, I would have so many less traumatic memories if that had been the case.
You could have been the future. You could have been Nick Sandman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could have if only that had. All right, moving on here. 1 in 5 people have this on them at all times. At all times. Have to have this item in their pocket or their purse or whatever.
Driver's license.
You'd hope more than 1 in 5 people have to have that on them at all times. Now, the correct answer is chewing gum. Oh. You a chewing gum guy?
No, I'm not. I don't carry my driver's license.
You don't?
No, not all the time.
What if you get pulled over?
Well, I don't carry it on me, though. Like, I put it in my bag or I have it in the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't.
I got pulled over one time. I didn't have my driver's license, and the cop read me the riot act, so I've always made sure to have my driver's license at all times.
They give you a fix-it ticket?
I was in high school. I got pulled. I was running late to football practice, and I forgot my wallet. And he was just, oh man. I mean, fortunately, he let me leave because I guess technically he could have done something worse than that, but he just told me, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to go home. I'm going to get my license. And I went home, got my license. And I went
scared
back.
The shit out of you.
No, he did. He scared the shit out of me. That's good, though. The rest of my life, I've always had my driver's license.
Yeah. Not your cell phone or not your earbuds, but your driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. All right. I've never been a big chewing gum guy. I like those the Lifesavers. I used to be big on that. That's candy. Those things are good.
Yeah.
Used to love those a lot.
But you have the gum toothpicks in your car, though, don't you?
Yes. I am those flossing toothpicks. I love those.
They're clutch.
They are wonderful. And the cool thing about it is my wife hates it. She can't stand it because she's got misophonia. And when you suffer from misophonia, that just triggers the misophonia.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're practicing good hygiene. What's wrong with that?
That's what I tell her. Listen, I floss more than anyone else. Whenever I get in the car, the first thing I do is I get that flosser and I clean those teeth with the floss. But my wife suffers from intense misophonia, which is the hatred of sound and random sound bites, and it's like a mental illness or whatever, and she has it, and she can't stand it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She'll read me the riot act when I do that.
That's funny.
Yeah, she gets really upset. Oh, man. But the good news is you do the same thing, so you're in the same boat. Those are good. Now, do you buy the big pack? I go to, the dollar store.
I do. I buy the big pack.
I don't do it. I buy the ones for a dollar. And they say they're single use, but I'll sometimes use them more than once. I'm a rebel.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'll use them more than once sometimes.
So last week you didn't wash your hands or you take a piss. And now this week
only if I do not touch the urinal and I do not have any kind of chance of this is striking an important area. My hands are striking an important area.
But how can you reuse a toothpick? What happens if you take food out of your mouth?
Well, no. I mean, if it's dirty, I won't reuse it. But sometimes it's not, and then you're good to go.
Well, it's always dirty. It's always dirty. You take a little bit of plaque off your teeth.
Listen, I'm saving money, Gascon, and I'm saving the environment because you use it multiple times until that little string slit, breaks.
Yeah.
You move on to the next one.
Yeah, but see, the ones that I get, you know this too. The ones that you get that are a dollar, they don't always have the mint taste to it.
I don't need the mint taste. I mean, I don't mind. I have some of the mint ones, but I'm an old school guy. I'm pure. I'm an original guy. I don't mind. I don't need the mint. I'm fine with just having the boring regular ones that don't have any flavor to them.
Oh, boy.
Fine with that. All right. A new survey found the average American household does this about 18 times a month.
18 what is it? Times a month.
This is 217 arguments annually over this.
Takes out the trash.
No. This is arguing about doing the dishes.
Ah, all right.
Kitchen confrontations. Just over cleaning the dishes. Now, this does not happen. I am the dishwasher at the Maller Mansion. That is my job. That is my assist for the family. I wash the dishes. I don't mind washing the dishes. I like washing the dishes. I feel a sense of accomplishment when I wash the dishes because you start out with a giant sink filled with all these disgusting dishes, and then you scrub-a-lub-lub and scrub-a-dub-dub, and you rinse them, put them in the dishwasher, you're good to go, and I love it. I'm all about it. So
why don't you just put them in the dishwasher in the first place?
Because when you do that, Gascon, that's a rookie mistake.
No.
If you put dishes in there, it's not a magic box, the dishwasher, and the bottom of the dishwasher gets filled with all the different food particles that are on the plates.
That's only so if you don't scrub off the food, though.
Well, that's what I do. I scrub them off, and then I put them in the dishwasher.
Oh, you made it sound like you actually wash the dishes, and then you put it in the dishwasher.
Well, no, I rinse them off, but I don't. No, listen, I'm not going to name any names here, but somebody at the house, when they were doing the dishes before I took over, the bottom of the dishwasher, I looked at it. It looked like a dumpster.
Yeah.
There were pieces of spaghetti that were dried up there. It was disgusting.
Now, the real kicker is...
I wanted to puke. Wanted to puke when I saw that.
The real kicker is, do you or your wife actually clean the blender? So that means actually unscrewing it, taking off the bottom portion, and then cleaning the entire thing. Like, that's the true essence of cleaning your dishes, washing your dishes.
Cleaning the blender, taking it all apart and all that stuff?
Yes, because if you don't do that, you get food and gunk and everything underneath the actual the shredder, the blades, and then that's when it gets moldy. And then that's when you're in trouble.
Now, listen, we have a very hygienic kitchen, the Maller kitchen. And I'm such a top level. I don't like to brag about myself, but I'm such a great dishwasher. I could be a professional. If this radio thing does not work out and the way it's going, it might not. I could go and I could wash dishes.
Well, that's good.
I can handle that. Like a professional dishwasher with a nice big dishwasher, professional grade. Oh,
that's good. I mean, you're not a good cook, but you can be a good dishwasher. That's
great.
Fine. Cook.
I made a Maller pizza the other day. It was fucking wonderful.
Oh, boy.
That thing was great. I had the garlic. I had the I had the peppers on there. It was just outstanding.
Now, were you inspired by any of the pictures that I sent you on Instagram to do that, or?
Yeah, you were sending me more food porn the other day.
That's what I'm saying.
What a loser.
You got to be inspired by some of that stuff.
I don't know if, like, maybe in my subconscious, because of that, I said, okay, I'll have to make a Mahler pizza, because I had not made a Mahler pizza in some time.
There you go.
It's a good pie.
Yeah.
I might make another one at some point the next couple of days.
How about you fucking barbecue a steak? How about that?
It's not been hot enough. Ever since I'm waiting for it to 100
Listen,
degrees.
Listen, summer's almost over. We're in the middle of August now.
No, it gets really hot in September. It usually got hot in August, but it hasn't been that hot.
Oh, boy.
Why has it not been as hot
I don't know.
For us? It's weird.
You should have asked Looney that yesterday.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Don't bring that up, please. All right, now let's see here. 41% of people have returned from vacation and immediately lied about this.
How much they spent?
No, they have claimed to have no cell service or phone issues.
Why would you need to lie about that?
Well, it's obvious. You didn't respond to an email or you didn't respond to a text message.
Yeah, but you're on vacation.
Doesn't matter. Some people think there's some corporate overlords that believe that they're despots, that you have to always, when the boss calls, you have to always respond.
Wow.
They believe that.
Interesting.
41%.
That's a high percentage.
Now, I have used that line myself, but that's because I was in a location that did not have cell phone, part of the Hawaiian Islands there, Kauai, on the flip side of the island there. They don't have cell phone reception, so at least they didn't when I first went there, and so I really did not have cell phone reception.
It's still a lofty number, though.
Bothered me. I don't think it's that. I think it's probably more than that. People are lying. Some people lie about that, say they don't actually do it. All right, almost 40% of people admit they've accidentally done this in the car.
Farted.
Toot, toot. No. They've driven the wrong way down a one-way street.
Oh, man. You could do that in downtown L.A. and in Long Beach pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is... I've seen it. Maybe at night I've done it. I'm sure I have done it at some point, but driving a while. Also, on the East Coast, they have those traffic circles.
Yeah.
And you can make the wrong turn on a traffic circle, and you're, man. So, yeah, it's a problem. The way you park, Gascon, I would think that you probably have done that quite a bit.
No, I almost tailed somebody down the wrong way, though. Like, I was following a friend home that was a little too intoxicated, and this is through Long Beach, but I saw the lights at the last second. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not the right way. So I hit the brakes, and I went around the other way and called, and I was like, follow me when I pop out on this side of the street. So... yeah, I always got my head on a swivel. The Autobahn, though, I drove on that, Ben. Whew. That is like, that's like your first time ever as a kid with your license getting on the freeway. Like, your head is on a swivel because you don't know where the traffic's coming from or going. You just want to make sure you're not getting hit. It's like driving in a taxi cab in Mexico. Like, you're just holding on for dear life.
It's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Okay. I've... doing the overnight show back when I used to drive into the studio. I have the home studio now.
Boy.
Professional grade broadcast equipment here.
$5,000 gear.
Better equipment than we have in the main studio. I'll point that out right now. And sounds just great. So anyway, when I used to drive for hours and hours overnight during the week, there was one week in particular, 2 days out of seven, I saw somebody driving the wrong way. One of them was on a surface street near Dodger Stadium.
Oh, shit.
And then it was on the 210 freeway in Pasadena.
Mm.
Guy going the wrong way, driving in the carpool lane in the middle of the night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I don't know. I can't imagine that ended well. I can't imagine that ended well. I don't know. I didn't see the end result. Fortunately, but when somebody's driving at you the wrong way, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, it seems like, wait a minute. You kind of freeze. You're like, what? But I think you're supposed to get over to the right, right? If they're, you're right, that's what you're supposed to do. And kind of.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Last one on the pop quiz. 41% of women say if they could have any superpower, it would be this.
Mind reader.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, women always are so fucking curious about what guys are thinking.
I know.
Right? Yeah. If you really knew what we were thinking, you wouldn't be that curious. But, yeah, mind reading. All right, we have a few study this. We'll do a few of these. We're getting a little long in the tooth, as they say. Mentioned garlic earlier. Well, good news for those of us that are addicted to the old world medicine of garlic. Right? Powerful, pungent, wonderful. Keeps the goblins away. Well, good news here. You can't make stronger garlic, but scientists say you can. Virginia Tech say, hey, there's a study out that has discovered the process that produces garlic's famous flavor and aroma. Their findings, they believe, will lead to farmers being able to control how strong or mild the produce is. So you'd have genetically modified garlic, which means, I guess for some people, if you get the benefits of garlic, but if you can't handle the pungent side effects,
mm-hmm.
that would be good for them. And then the other, for those of us that like the pungent side effects and the smells and all that stuff, peeling back the layers of garlic, that would be good.
That's pretty interesting.
More powerful garlic. Thank God. A new survey finds Americans are adjusting online habits because of the tensions, the pandemic, politics, race relations. 56% of Americans have changed their social media habits as a direct result of 2020. Have you, Gascon, changed your habits?
I'm trying to do that, yeah, because... Yeah. When I wake up in the morning and when I go to bed, there's just so much fucking negativity online. Now, Instagram didn't do itself any favors. Like, if you go on Instagram now and you go on to, like, the search icon, the first thing that shows you is not pictures, that shows you a reel. And usually it's a female doing some kind of bullshit workout or some kind of, like, look at me, look at my face, whatever. But... it's a stupid video now as opposed to just random pictures. And I like looking at pictures from like travel destinations or food or, you know, all kinds of bullshit. But yeah. Twitter is just, I'm not on Facebook. I know you are. I haven't been on Facebook since 2011. I canceled my account, but everything is fucking negative, man. Like,
oh, Twitter's the worst, man.
Yeah.
Twitter's so bad.
It's terrible. It is absolutely brutal.
Such assholes.
I get, because the militia is great for laughs. And you get that, and then all of a sudden, like I work with Jonas Knox on the weekends, and he'll retweet stuff, but he'll retweet stuff from people that are tweeting him at like 1 or 2 in the morning saying like, I hope you fucking die, you're a little bitch. Like just shit like that. I'm like, dude. I mean, first of all, half these people would never say that shit to someone's face.
Oh, of course not. Well, the other thing is, these are people that have terrible lives that are depressed. And it's always funny. Actually, Looney told me this years ago. It's a little cheat code when you see people saying, yeah, we eat that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You go to their timeline and they've sent it to not just you, but to every other, you know, even mildly famous person. Fuck you. You suck. You know, they just go down the list there. It's pretty funny.
It's great, though, because if you go onto either like news sites or just like celebrities or politicians and you see them tweet on the regular, Ben, there's always like that one or two people that always respond to their texts or to their tweets like right away. It doesn't matter who it is. There's always someone that responds to those tweets like immediately. They have them on notifications right away. So someone jumps on and it's just like, do you have anything else better to do than to respond to every individual's tweet?
Man, listen, these are people that are shut-ins. They got nothing going on. They're disheveled. And so they choose to go down that path.
You know what I encourage? I encourage to get out, drive west of the 405 and plant your ass on the beach.
Here we go.
Have a drink. Have a carne asada burrito. Pop open an umbrella. Sit on a towel and enjoy the waves.
Well, what I do, last weekend, I drove.
Where'd you go?
Over 600 miles. Well, actually, over 500 miles round trip.
Where?
To the coast of like New San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, that area.
Nice.
Down there was wonderful. Right across, there's a really cool beach right across from the Hearst Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a pier there. It's kind of deserted and should be deserted. It's off the beaten path and it's beautiful. But not west of the 405. But that's how far I went to avoid being west of the 405 guy.
That's a good area, though. That's a really good area. And there's nobody around either.
Yeah, because Hearst bought all the land. So there's nobody in that area can live there because he owned the Hearst estate, which they gave to the state of California, owns all the land there. Otherwise, there'd be big metropolises there also.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Imagine how much that real estate would be worth.
Oh, man.
Holy crap.
Can't even imagine.
Oh, it's that guy was so well. But anyway, they had the beach, the history of the beaches, they built this pier. And that was where when Hearst brought in all these exotic animals mm-hmm. and all these wild things from around the world, that was where they dock right across the road from Hearst Castle. And it was a short trip. And so that was like a big, you know, I say big, relatively speaking, port where boats would come in from all different countries around the world to give the rich William Randolph Hearst all his crap.
Well, speaking of that commute, too, do you do the Napa or Temecula drive?
I don't go to San Diego as much because I work down there. I do need to get to San Diego more. I love San Diego, but I have not done the Temecula Drive recently.
Yeah. Just because those wineries down there are pretty popular, and the ones in Napa are like Napa and Sonoma are they're fantastic, but everything's spread out too. You get wine, and then you get a boatload of Mexican food, which is great.
I like in Temecula, they have like the people with the balloons used on the weekends, the hot air balloons.
Yeah.
Always a lot of hot air balloons out in that Temecula area.
Well, don't forget you have the balloons there. And if you recall, just up the 15 freeway, you have Lake Elsinore. And that's where you get a lot of skydivers that will jump into that lake.
Oh, is that right? They jump into the lake.
Yeah.
Who knew? All right, I will do more study and survey this. What do we have next here? All right, the researchers have figured out, according to the University of New South Wales, the best place, which means as good as all the others, the place that is the top on the entire planet to see the stars. Where do you need to go if you want to have the best view of the stars? None of that white light poisoning and all that stuff that happens in a lot of the big cities, but where do you want to go?
I mean, you'd have to go towards the North Pole.
Yeah, Antarctica. Antarctica is there's so little light turbulence, it hardly interferes at all with the stars, making the view they claim is the greatest on the entire planet.
Yeah, Northern Lights. Well, we have a colleague, Rob Parker. Didn't he go to... Yeah,
I think he did.
Yeah, he went to Antarctica last year, or the tail end of last year, the beginning of this year, I think. That's what he
Before
did.
Before the apocalypse.
Yeah.
He got that in there. Nearly three quarters of Americans say they see too much bias in the reporting of news that is supposed to be objective as a major problem.
Yeah.
73%, up from 65% in 2017. That's according to a new study. Americans also perceive inaccurate news to be intentional, either because the reporter is misrepresenting the facts or making them up entirely, according to this. 54% believe misrepresenting the facts.
I believe that 1,000%.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, it's obvious. There is no unbiased news. That's bullcrap. There's never actually been unbiased news because the moment you come out of the womb and you enter the world, every experience you have in your own life creates your environment where you look at things through that prism. So there's no – people who say they're unbiased are full of crap. There is no unbiased. Now, you can be less biased. You can play it more down the middle. But, no, every choice you make from the time you're a little kid – and your experience shape who you are, and as a result, your opinions. How about that for a hot take, Geska? Is that a hot take?
No, I don't think it's a hot take. The other thing, too, on top of that is whatever someone reports, more often than not, other people are not going back to confirm that information or to verify that substance either. So that's the other thing is that if people aren't believable, then you're not going to believe them from Jump Street. And then on top of that, if stuff gets out there in the world, and of course social media... All you need is one or two people to disprove that or to point facts in another direction. And all of a sudden that report that your news is based on, it becomes faulty and weak. So but that's just the world we live in, right? Like you were saying, negativity is what drives us. And if people can monetize negativity to the umpteenth, they're going to do it.
Well, yeah, if it bleeds, it leads and all that. If it's salacious, it works. But it really the term, I would say even more than misrepresenting the facts. I've noticed a lot in the news business, and I have friends that work in the news business at newspapers and television. It's the lie by omission.
Yeah.
It's leaving stuff out that would change the entire narrative, but it ends up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that happens more than anything, where there are facts from situations that don't fit the narrative. So when in doubt, leave it out. And you end up leaving important details to hide the truth from the people that are consuming the media.
Yeah.
Lying by omission.
Yeah, you can point to the LA Times for being a champion of that. I know that throughout the years. And several people tell me that on the regular for the last three decades.
It's pretty crazy. All right, here's another one. Let's see who do we have here. All right, this is a national survey that finds that nearly two-thirds, 62% of Americans say the political climate these days prevents them from saying things they believe because others might find them offensive.
Fuck yes. I think that number is a little bit lower, though. I think that should be like closer to 75%.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's a term, you got to take the temperature in the room.
Yeah.
Right? And that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. You got to know, read the room.
Yeah. You said it perfectly yesterday, though, with Tom, when you guys were talking about this, is that you guys can go back and forth at each other, talk about your differences and be okay with it, where other individuals, they just fall off the map and they just go batshit crazy. Start cussing at you or start name calling and labeling you. And it's completely different of a dynamic.
Yeah, like Looney's I tell him all the time, he's the coolest liberal guy in the world. I wish if every liberal person had the mindset of Tom Looney, the world would be such a better place, and for that matter, conservative people. But we go back and forth, and it's great. And I'll say something crazy, he'll say something crazy, or whatever, and whatever. We just laugh about it. Then that's the way it should be.
It's weird because I think the majority of people in the United States—I can't speak for people outside the country—but I think the majority of people in the United States are pretty much down the middle. I think there's differences on one issue or another. But I think for the most part, this country is right down the middle on issues. It's just a little bit of persuasion one way or another, and it's the time of the year.
Well, the other thing, too, though, is the tribalism now. And because of social media, it's been like jet fuel for tribalism.
Yeah.
Right? It's like my team versus your team, and I'm a better cheerleader for my team, and I know my team's better than your team, so fuck your team, and I'm going to tell you. And that's how that all – that's my theory on how that all goes down.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's profitable for right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. I think that's enough, right? That's enough. Look at the clock. All right. Very good. Again, follow us. We got another podcast tomorrow. It's 8 days a week. We'll have the mailbag. We got Be or Not to Be. That'll be tomorrow, yes?
Yes, sir.
And whatever else pops up before we put that podcast in the oven and bake it at 400 degrees for about 45 minutes or so. Don't forget cameo.com. Let's see if you can outdo that Laker cameo that I did, which was uncomfortable. But the personalized video message, cameo.com. Ben Maller there if you want that. Love to do it for you. Not free, but not much. Twitter at Ben Maller. Instagram, Ben Maller on Fox. And Facebook, Ben Maller Show. And guess gone, the people can reach you also.
All the way across, not on Facebook. Twitter at David J. Gascon. Same thing on Cameo. And then Instagram is at Dave Gascon.
All right. Wonderful. Have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you next time.